Blog Talk Radio.
Of your grace, you have reached.
Hello, 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 and welcome to tonight's show. I am your host tonight. I am Tanisha. My sweetheart is still working. He thought he was going to be here in time, but he is not available right now, but he sends his love and his prayers. We're always praying for you. So tonight I am your host. It's not going to be a long show tonight, guys. I am extremely tired. I had a very weird night last night. I was up. I'd fallen asleep maybe about, I want to say like 11:30, and then I woke up maybe about 12:30 and did not go back to sleep till 5. Like, I was just up last night. I don't know why, but I prayed, you know, I just, that's typically what I do when I'm up. There's some nights where it's just like that, where I just literally can't sleep. And it's not very often, but last night was definitely one of those nights where I prayed and could not go back to sleep. Then finally, when I did go back to sleep about 5, Terrence's alarm went off at 6. I was just like, oh my gosh. And then I didn't get a nap today. So I am exhausted. So I'm going to have a quick show tonight, but I didn't want to leave you guys hanging. Sorry for about Sunday, for those of you who got the message that Terrence and I were on. There was a mix-up with who was going to be hosting. So we weren't available Sunday. So if you did call in, and I don't think anybody ended up doing the show, I'm not sure, but I apologize about that. That was my error in communication with Randy. But so last night when I was up, I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm up. I've prayed. I mean, I prayed lots of prayers and I still wasn't able to go to sleep. So I'm like, okay, Lord, let me just read my word. What do you want me to read? And he had me go to Matthew 24. He had me start in verse 3, but I'm going to start verse 1. I want to read it to you guys because, you know, this is, I'm pretty sure you guys are familiar with this chapter of Matthew. And if not, I highly recommend that you do get familiar with it because the header is Signs of Christ's Return. So it's 1 through, it's a pretty long chapter. But let's start with verse 1. I'm reading it out of the Amplified. Jesus left the temple area and was going on his way when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to the magnificent and massive buildings of the temple. And he said to them, "Do you see all these things? I assure you and most solemnly say to you, not one stone here will be left on another which will not be torn down." While Jesus was seated on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and said, "Tell us, when will this destruction of the temple take place, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end, completion, consummation of the age?" Jesus answered, "Be careful that no one misleads you, deceiving you and leading you into error. For many will come in my name, misusing it and appropriating the strength of the name which belongs to me, saying, 'I am the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed,' and they will mislead many. You will continually hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for these things must take place, but that is not yet the end of the age. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs, of the intolerable anguish and the time of unprecedented trouble. Then they will hand you over to endure tribulation and will put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. And at that time, many will be offended and repelled by their association with me and will fall away from the one whom they should trust and will betray one another, handing over believers to their persecutors, and will hate one another. Many false prophets will appear and mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, the love of most people will grow cold. But the one who endures and bears up under suffering to the end will be saved. This good news of the kingdom, the gospel, will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end of the age will come." So let's continue. The header is Perilous Times. "So when you see the abomination of desolation, the appalling sacrilege that astonishes and makes desolate, spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains for refuge. Whoever is on the housetop must not go down to get the things that are in his house, because there will not be enough time. Whoever is in the field must not turn back to get his coat. And woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. Pray that your flight from persecution and suffering will not be in winter or on a Sabbath when Jewish laws prohibit travel. For at that time there will be a great tribulation, pressure, distress, oppression, such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will again. And if those days of tribulation had not been cut short, no human life will be saved. But for the sake of the elect, God's chosen ones, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you during the great tribulation, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There he is,' do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will appear, and they will provide great signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even the elect, God's chosen ones. Listen carefully. I have told you in advance. So if they say to you, 'Look, he is in the wilderness,' do not go out there. Or, 'Look, he is in the inner rooms of a house,' do not believe it. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes as far as the west, so will be the coming and glory of the Son of Man. Everyone will see him clearly. Wherever the corpse is, There the vultures will flock together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not provide its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And at that time, the sign of the Son of Man coming in his glory will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth, and especially Israel, will mourn, regretting their rebellion and rejection of the Messiah. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory and brilliance and splendor. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet, and they will gather together his elect, God's chosen ones, from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its young shoots become tender and it puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So you too shall see all these things taking place. Know for certain that he is near, right at the door. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, this generation, the people living when these signs and events begin, will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth, as now known, will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of the exact day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son in his humanity, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man, the Messiah, will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the very day when Noah entered the ark. And they did not know or understand until the flood came and swept them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be unexpected judgment. At that time, two men will be in the field, one will be taken for judgment, and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken for judgment, and one will be left. Be ready for his coming, so be alert, give strict attention, be cautious and active in faith, for you do not know which day, whether near or far, your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the end of the house had known what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on alert and would not have been allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you who follow me must also be ready, because the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has put in charge of his household to give the others in the house their food and supplies at the proper time? Blessed is that faithful servant when his master returns and finds him doing so. I assure you and most solemnly say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that servant is evil and says in his heart, my master is taking his time, he will not return for a long time, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour of which he is not aware, and will cut him in two and put him with the hypocrites. In that place, there will be weeping over sorrow and pain and grinding of teeth. That was long. I read the whole chapter, which is 1 through 51, but that is Matthew 24, and that's what the Lord had me read last night and while I was up. I want to point something out to you about when the disciples asked, how will we know, right? What's the signs of the coming of the end of the age? And I want to point out something to you that stood out to me yesterday. Let me go to it. Okay, I went to verse 3. Hold on. It's about the birth pains. Here we go. Verse 8. Well, let's start with 7. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs, of the intolerable anguish, and of the time of unprecedented trouble. So birth pangs. Let's talk about birth pangs. Let's also, I want to put verse 8 in a different, let's compare it. So New International Version, New International Reader's Version rather, says all these are the beginning of birth pains. So what are birth pains? Birth pains are contractions. And so anybody who's given birth or is just very familiar with birth, with the birthing process knows that when a woman goes into labor, right, she has birth pains, and the birth pains are contractions. So when you start to have contractions, they start off as they hurt, right, but they are not as intense. And as the time comes closer to having a baby, the contractions get closer together and they get stronger in intensity. And so that's why typically a woman will have an epidural, because the pain becomes just about unbearable the closer it gets to the birth of that baby. And so Jesus is comparing the signs to birth pains. So we know that that means that as more signs appear, they are going to become closer, right? Closer in time, and they're going to intensify. So, you know, the Lord is giving us, he's giving us like, so we know what's going on, right? He's giving us insight to the future so that when these things happen, we're not shocked. We're not like, oh my gosh, it's too much. It just seems like one thing happened. Now it's another thing and it's getting worse. It's going to get worse. It's going to be quicker, because he likens it to birth pains. Birth pains are contractions. And contractions, they get closer and they get stronger and more painful as you get closer to birth. So instead of us being rattled by that, when we start to see these things happen, we need to rejoice, because our Lord, if you read Matthew 24, this is in red. So this is our Lord and Savior speaking to us. This is Jesus telling us and giving us instructions for the time that we are in now, right? Because then let's go here. Let's go to, and I didn't expect to do this tonight. I'm just, you know, as always, letting the Lord lead me, because again, I'm tired, but I'm always available to be used by the Lord for the edification of the body of Christ, so that we can get it and we can be strengthened and we can have peace about the time that we have been called for. Terrence just texted. He said, tell everyone hello, which I already did. He said, I'll make up for not being available tonight too. Let's go. I didn't highlight this stuff, so I apologize. I'm just letting God lead. So you're going to get a brief silence, because I'm going to find what I'm looking for. Excuse me. Okay, so let's go to 34, right? So we're going Matthew 24. We're in 34. This is Jesus speaking again. He says, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, this generation, the people living when these signs and events begin, come on, when they begin, will not pass away until all these things take place. We are that generation, people. It's us. We're the generation. So how much more do we need to know what's going to take place? Because Jesus says, I assure you and most solemnly say to you. Do you know what solemnly means? Let's look it up. Okay, let's understand what our Lord and Savior is saying. Let's get that deep within solemnly. Solemnly. Definition. No, that's not the, like my Merriam-Webster, I'm old school. Marked by the invocation of a religious sanction, right? Somebody say, what? I still don't get it. stately, imposing. What's a sanction? Let's look that up. Because that's a legal term. But just because it's a legal term doesn't mean everybody knows what it is. Let's break this on down so we can get this in our spirit tonight. Let's go sanction definition. And let's go here, Merriam-Webster. It's a formal decree, okay? So he's decreeing this. That means it. When Jesus decrees something, that's just what it is. That's the law of the land. That's just, they ain't no workaround, nothing. There's no way to get out of it. It is what it is. And so he's saying, I assure you. Come on now. We know what assurance means. Like, I want you to know that you know, like, this is, you can hang your hat on this. This is etched in stone. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, this generation, the people living with these signs and events begin, will not pass away until all these things take place. What are all these things? It's the things he's talking about. Because listen to what he says next. Heaven and earth, as now known, will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Okay? So he's saying that what he's saying is more solid than heaven and earth, because heaven and earth will, the one as we know it, will pass away, right? Because hopefully you guys have been tuning into the Revelation teachings that PGN's been having. And if not, I highly suggest that you do, because the heaven as we know it, this is temporary, right? And the earth that we know, it's a temporary. But they will, so as we know heaven and as we know earth, it's temporary. And it will pass away, and there's going to come a time where heaven and earth merge, right? Become one. So if that's new to you, I highly suggest you get into your word to know what's going on. So he's saying that heaven and earth is going to pass away, and that's the most solid things that we know, right? We know earth to be solid because this is where we live. You know, people, when they say, you know, at least me, and I know other people say, if somebody's being all dramatic, I'll say, well, did the earth fall off its axis? Because that's something that's static, right? It's solid. The earth is rotating on its axis. So if the earth didn't fall off its axis, like, let's not do that. Let's not make it such a big deal. That's typically something I use to people to let them know that let's not make that a big deal. I'll say, did the earth fall off its axis? Because earth is solid, right? But he's saying that that's going to pass away and heaven will pass away. But what he's saying, that's not going to pass away. So there's no changing his mind on this. This is what it is, right? You can't pray it away. You can't fast it away. You can't pray tongues in it away. You can't touch and agree it away. This is what it is. And so I highly recommend that you really study Matthew 24, the whole chapter, because you are that generation. You need to know what's going on. Because even the deception that's going to take place with these false prophets and all these, you know, fake miracles and stuff, it says it's even going to try to deceive the elect, which are us, the body of Christ. People perish for what? Lack of knowledge. Let's not have lack of knowledge. Let's know what's going on. So this is what the Lord had me reading last night. This is meaty, right? This is not some lightweight scripture. And I don't believe it was a coincidence that he had me to read that, because we need to know the signs of Christ's return. This is a chapter that, as a baby in Christ, God had me read. A baby in Christ. And as you guys know my background, and those who don't know, maybe this is your first time tuning in, I did not come from a Christian background. I was raised to believe that there was a higher power, right? But not in any particular belief or faith. Like, I didn't go to church on Sundays, and we didn't read our Bible and all that kind of stuff. But we did have to say grace. I was raised with morals and manners. And in hindsight, I was raised with godly principles. You know, do unto others as you know, you want people to do unto you. But my dad called it the golden rule. I didn't know it was scriptural. So both my parents are raised in faiths. My dad, Church of Christ, and my mom, Roman Catholic. But they did not raise us in any particular faith because of their bad experiences, but we were raised moral. But I was not taught about Jesus and that kind of thing. So when I came into my faith, when I came into the fold, I did not have any foundation. I learned it from scratch. And this, so me being a brand new believer, this is one of the chapters that God had me to read. Because he always let me know from the beginning that I was called for the end. And wanted me to, like, from the beginning, literally. I'm probably a week, 2 weeks into my faith, and he let me know why he made and designed and purposed me. And he told me it was for the end times. And that confused me. Even some years back, I found another ministry of prophets, and they would give free prophecies. Like, you could email them, they would email you a prophecy, and the lady who emailed me, it was completely dead on. about being used as an end time prophet to defy the saints. Never heard of this woman, never knew this woman, or nothing. And she prophesied spot on the things that God would tell me as a new believer. So again, read Matthew 24. This is for us. We are that generation. We don't have anything to fear. God is going to prepare us. God is going to guide us. God is going to set us up to where we are in position to handle the things that are coming, but things are coming. And like birth pains, they're going to come more rapid and they're going to come more intense. And we're not going to be rattled. We're not going to be shaken. We're not going to be moved. We're not going to be deceived because we're strong. We're going to keep each other strong. We're going to fortify ourselves in the Word of God. We're going to arm ourselves with knowledge so that we are not perishing in any area. So we need to know what's going on. Read Matthew 24. What I would like to do tonight is let's pray for Florida. I'm sure you guys are keeping up with or are at least aware of Hurricane Ian. It's pummeling parts of Florida right now. Let's keep them lifted. I know there was some mandatory evacuations. Our oldest daughter is stationed in Tampa, but she actually flew out of Tampa to Pensacola on Tuesday. And this was planned. This was planned months ago. They chose her to go to a special class, special school to learn some more skills in her unit. And I remember she was telling me when she found out months and months ago, like, oh, I don't want to go back to Pensacola. And I don't want to do this and this, that, and the other. And I'm like, you know, you got to just trust God. We didn't know then that there was going to be this hurricane happening now that's affecting Tampa as one of the many areas that's being affected. So she got out Tuesday. And today, which is Wednesday, it hit and it's causing a lot of problems for people. So let's do a collective prayer. I really want to do collective prayers tonight. I want to pray over you, all of you. Like, I want to pray over all of us collectively as a body, because we are a body, right? We're all separate. We don't know where each other lives. We're all in different states, cities, but we're one. And God has placed us with each other and as part of this ministry for his purposes, you know, because if there's going to be false prophets, there's got to be genuine ones too, right, in the end times. There's going to be lots of false ones. There's going to be fake miracles. And where there's a counterfeit, there's something genuine, right? And so I believe God is using us in this network to represent the end times prophets, the genuine ones, the end times miracles, the genuine ones. So we have to keep each other strong and fortified. But before I pray collectively over all of us, let's pray for Florida. Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we are very grateful for another day, another night, and another opportunity to come before you with our request and to be loved on and strengthened. And we just love and honor you, Father God. Thank you for your word. We thank you for being a loving God who is always in control and who prepares the people that he loves and who has good plans for us no matter what times we are in. We are so grateful for that. Lord, we just come lifting Florida to you, Father God, and we pray for people to use this as an opportunity to get to know you more, that you would protect your people, Father God, and provide answers to them, that after the waters subside, when there's damage to be assessed and there's just things that need to be taken care of, that you will give your people the strength to do what needs to be done. And not only that, you will give them the wisdom to know what needs to be done, that you will link people to them to help take care of and of their needs and to get things done and taken care of, and just bless them and give them peace, Father God, and just protect them. Just protect them in Jesus' mighty name and use them as beacons of light and hope for those who are around them who may not know you or may not be believers. We know that you work all things together for good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And so for every believer, Father God, we are so grateful that you are making it all work out for good. And use them also, Father God, to be a mouthpiece for the kingdom and to minister the love of Jesus to those around them who may be suffering devastation and do not have a foundation of faith. So we just thank you for that. Let it be done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, so let's do some collective prayers over all of us tonight so that we get it. We want to be fortified. We want to be strengthened. We want to be used because this is our time. This is our time. We read about, you know, our Bible heroes and their time. This is our time. It's our time to shine. It's our time to represent the kingdom. It's our time to decree and declare and to take our place and use our dominion for the glory of God. And we're not going to let anything stop us, right? We're not going to let perilous times. We're not going to let the deception of the enemy. We already won. And it's just time for us to take our positions because all of us are positioned. All of us, you know, as time is passing by, I understand more and more of why God had me to move to Texas because I would have never moved to Texas. I am a Cali girl all day, every day. I want a beach. And I would have never chose Texas to move to. I would have picked like one of the Carolinas that have beaches or, you know, Maryland, somewhere with water. I would have chose. But God had me to come out here. God has given me dominion out here. God has placed me out here for a reason. And as the time goes, it becomes more and more clear. But all of us are positioned. And so let's take our place and be used where God is calling us to be used. And even if God has called us to go other places, let's grow where we're planted right now, right? Because we're here now. Let's be used where we're at, even if where we're at is going to change, okay? So Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, Lord. I just pray over every person who hears the sound of my voice tonight, Father God, that you would touch them and guide them, Father God, that you would give them strength and courage, and that you would give them clarity, Father God. Speak clarity over the eyes of the saints, Lord. I speak vision and insight so that they can see the provision that you've already set for them, that you've already decreed over their life, that you've already laid out for them, Father God. Help us to be visionaries, to see beyond what we can see with our natural sight, but to see into the spiritual realm, to see what's coming up and not to get overwhelmed or taken down by what we see that we may not like, but to know that it's a pass through. It's where we got to go through to get to where you would have assigned for us, and help us to fortify and each other and be strong. Help us to be kind in a cruel world, Father God. There's so much meanness in our world, so much cruelty. Where it's even glorified, even children are becoming more cruel, bullying and making fun of people and just being ungodly altogether. But help us to be kind in a cruel world. Help us to be your hands. Help us to be your mouth. Help us to be beacons of light. Help us to hold love and where people will be attracted to the love of Christ that resides in us. Help us not to be hardened by the ways of the world and not to be jaded by the things that we see, but help our hearts to remain tender to you and tender to your people who are hurting, people who don't know any better, people who need you, who don't even know what they need. They know they need something. They know they're hurt, and they know that they're just dizzy and spun out, but they don't know that they need you. And help us to relate and connect to people so that we can minister the gospel, the good news, to a hurting world that surrounds us. And help us to not be intimidated by the darkness, but rather to go and forge ahead into it, knowing that we are the light. Help us to not run from the desolate places, but to run towards it because we know we bring prosperity. Help us not to run from the sickness of the minds of people and the sickness in the body, but to run towards it because we know that we are healed and we possess gifts of healing. Help us not to run from those who are in bondage and to just dismiss them, but to run towards them because we know we have the key, because we have you. Christ is the key. We have the truth. the real truth, not the facts, because facts can be true but not truth. The fact is, I'm speaking to everybody right now, but the truth is that I might not be speaking to them in 10, 20 minutes. So facts can change. But help us to, no matter what people believe, to always run towards them with the truth. We have the truth, and the truth is what makes people free. So help us to run towards the things that need your touch, that need your light, that need your anointing, because we know the time is being shortened. We know the time is running out. We know that we are in the end of time. So we don't have any time to spare. We don't have any time to waste. Each day becomes even more critical. Each second becomes more critical because as the countdown has begun. And help us to be mindful of that. I just speak against the blockages that clog up our time. The things that distract us, our phones and social media and games or whatever it is that's distracting us and that's clogging up our time. Let us be mindful of us. Speak against the time thieves that we are opening the door to. Help us to have the strength to close the door. Lord, give us the discipline to be mindful of our time because we don't have a lot. And we have none to spare, but we still have a dying world all around us that needs to hear the good news, the gospel, a hopeless world that needs hope. Help us use wherever we're at as our platform. Help us to grow where we're planted, to be used every day. Give us a desire to want to be used and say, Lord, use me today to bless somebody. Whether it be direct speaking, whether it be an example, a smile, anything, but use me today. Help us to have a heart for people, no matter how rotten and terrible they may be. But help us to see past that, that you died for them too, that you love them too, that you desire for them to have life and life more abundantly too, because we were just as messed up and wretched as those same people. And help us to always be humble. I speak financial prosperity over your people in Jesus' mighty name. Open the floodgates of heaven, Father God. Give us just an overflow of finances, not just for our benefit so that we can expand the kingdom and do what's needed for the expansion of the kingdom in these end times. Because time is of the essence, we're going to need state-of-the-art systems so that we can get the gospel around. We'll need jets to fly in to be able to spread the word. But that takes money. So open the floodgates and financially bless your people. I speak healing in your people, Lord. I'm so grateful, Father God, that you are a living God. I thank you, Lord, even for the word the other night about the carbs and all that and making us aware of what could be causing issues in our bodies. Give us knowledge so that we can walk in total health and in godly health. We need our bodies to be in tip-top condition so that we can do the work. We can't do the work busted and disgusted. We've got to be healthy and whole. We've got to have clarity of mind. We don't want to just be laying around like slugs, tired and exhausted all the time. Lord, we need energy. So give us the knowledge and the understanding of how to treat our bodies, how to make our bodies healthy and to keep them healthy. Give us a desire for health. Just come against bad cravings, bad food choices, bad decisions that are affecting our health in Jesus' mighty name. Addiction, I break tobacco addictions right now in Jesus' mighty name. I break alcohol addictions right now in Jesus' mighty name. I break drug addictions right now in Jesus' mighty name. I break gluttony and gorging and bad food addiction right now in Jesus' mighty name. I speak divine health in your bodies. I speak divine health in your mind. I speak divine health in your psyche. Lord, help us to overcome the traumas that we've experienced as children, the traumas that we've experienced even as adults, Father God. Help us to overcome so that there's no obstacle, nothing in the way of the work that you would have for our lives, Father God. Let us speak that into your people, Lord. Strengthen us in Jesus' mighty name. Make us strong, Father God. Make us strong, mighty warriors for Christ, for the kingdom, Lord Jesus. Time is at hand, and we are called for such a time. Help us to rejoice in that, that you trust us for this time that we're in, that we won't back down. We don't care what they call us. We know that we are peculiar people. The word says it. So when they call us weirdos and kooks, we don't care. I'll be a weirdo and kook for Christ any day. Let that be our mentality. And help us to just be mindful of what we feed on, Lord Jesus, and give us a desire to really feed on that word and open the word, the mysteries of the word. Open it to us, Lord. Open it to us right now in Jesus' mighty name. And help us to be good friends to one another, friends to those who you've called in our individual lives. Help us to be good parents, good partners, good spouses, Lord Jesus, good workers. Help us to strive for excellence in everything that we put our hand to, in every role that we have in this earth. Let us do it with excellence and desire for excellence. Lord, I just pray peace in your people, Father God. If there be anybody who does not have peace, I break that off of you. And I speak peace in your mind. I speak joy in your spirit. Those who are grieving, Father God, comfort them. All grieving is not because of the passing of a loved one. Some of us are grieving dreams, hopes. Some of us are grieving missed opportunities. May you be comforted in Jesus' mighty name. And may you enter into the joy of the Lord. I speak against confusion right now in Jesus' mighty name. And I speak clarity into you right now. Clarity. See so clear. Let the scales fall off your eyes. Let the clouds be lifted from your mind and see things for what they really are. And I speak love in your life right now. Love that you would love the Lord your God with all your mind, all your body, all your soul, and that you would love yourself in Jesus' mighty name. Love you. God loved you. God called you. You're not here by mistake. You're here because God wants you here. Love yourself, because how can you even love your neighbor as you love yourself if you don't even properly love yourself? I speak that you would see yourself through the eyes of Christ. Love yourself and stop being so hard on yourself. Stop it. Give yourself room to grow. Learn from your mistakes. Dust yourself off, and you keep pushing, and you keep striving for better. But don't be beating yourself up. That ain't of God. You learn, and you keep it pushing. Because you may stumble, but you're not going to fall. Thank you for it. Let this all be done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And while I was praying, the Lord reminded me that, you know, if you listen to last night's show, I started talking about carbs. Martina called in, and Randy and Martine started talking about carbs, and some of us were texting. Well, just to give you some background, I had been having some horrible digestive issues recently. Excuse me. Let me grab a drink of water. And been taking my probiotics and drinking my water and stuff. And I'm like, okay, Lord, what is causing my digestion to be like really bad, like horrible heartburn to the point where like even one morning I woke up and I'm coughing up stomach acid. And I'm like, what in the world? I'm having to take antacids and stuff like that. And I'm like, Lord, I need to know what's causing this really terrible indigestion. Well, Randy and Martine started talking about carbs last night, and when they were talking, it hit me, because I was suspecting that was it, because I was eating like more potatoes and, you know, things like that recently, and I really believe God confirmed that it was because of the carbs. And we started talking about blood type and all that kind of stuff. And I'm saying I wasn't on the call, but, you know, I'm part of it too. So, but God answered my prayer. And I want you to know God answers prayers. And he'll answer it however. You might watch a show on TV, might have a conversation with a coworker, spouse, anything. But he answers prayers. I'd like to know that and to really trust that God hears you and desires to give you the answer. Because it started coming out that about like people with O blood type, how they do fare better with, you know, more protein versus carbs. And when I don't eat meat, and I don't eat meat for spiritual reasons. This is something that God told me to do because it helps me to hear his voice more clear. And that's for me. You know, all of our bodies are made different. And for whatever reason, my body hears the voice of God more clear when I don't eat meat. But I am permitted to eat. I can eat all seafood, so I can eat fish and shrimp and all that kind of stuff, even though I do want to eventually stop eating shrimp and crawfish and shelled fish. But God has permitted me to eat that, so that's what I eat. But I don't eat chicken or beef or pork. I don't eat any poultry, like turkey or anything like that. But when I did eat meat, I always did very good on a high protein, low carb. Like that gave me the most energy, kept my weight in check. So it was just interesting to hear as the conversation was unfolding about how even for people with certain blood types, their bodies fare better with more protein versus carbs. And I knew God was going to give me an answer. I just didn't know it was going to come through PGN listening in, but it did. So, you know, whatever you're praying, know that God's going to answer that prayer, you know, and that whole indigestion thing was driving me nuts because I don't like eating and it hurts and all that kind of stuff. And, but God answered that. And I suspected that though, in my spirit, I'm like, I wonder if it's because of the carbs that I've been eating. And sure enough, God answered that prayer. So just know that God answers your prayer and be encouraged by that. I want you guys to know that God loves you. I love you. I'm always praying for you. Terrence loves you. He's always praying for you. I want you guys to love yourselves, love other people, love on people. People need to be loved on. There's so much hurt in the world right now. There's so much unkindness, and we really need to love people right where they are. Just like Jesus. Jesus loved people right where they are. You didn't see him go on wagging his finger at people and saying, hey, you're all jacked up. When you get this together, then I'll love you. No, he would love them right where they were. And his love is what transformed them. And we need to be that way. We really got to start loving on people, even people we don't like. And I'm preaching to myself too. I'm preaching to myself too. We got to even love people that we don't like because God loves them. God loves the people that we don't like. So anyways, I'm going to wrap it up. Thank you for tuning in tonight. And call back in, excuse me, at 8:45. You can call into the queue. Hit 1 that puts you in the queue. Typically on Wednesday, Randy does a message, and then he prays over every person who has their hand up. So be sure to call back. I'm going to try to get some stuff done around the house. Again, I'm exhausted. Please pray for me that I get some good sleep tonight because I have an early morning appointment. So I've got to get up really early, and I've got to travel kind of far to get to it. So I'm praying that I get some good rest tonight. Because even though I didn't sleep last night, and I'm really tired, I'm really grateful for the scripture that God had me to study in the wee hours of the morning. I'm always grateful God made good come out of that. But please pray that I get some sleep tonight. I am going to call back in at 8:45. To be prayed for. But after that, I am going to go to bed because I've got an early morning tomorrow. Anyways, I pray a blessed day for you today and the rest of this week. Make it a great one. Until next time, good night and love you guys.